WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. For a lot of folks, unplugging means curling up with their favorite romance novel, a genre where you know everyone lives happily ever after. Sounds like the perfect cure to news burnout.
We read to know we're not alone.
When I was your age, television was called books, and this is a special book.
I live in two worlds. One is a world of books.
Well, my brother has his sword, and I have my mind. And a mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone. That's why I read so much Jon Snow.
It tells me that goose-stepping morons like yourself should try reading books instead of burning them.
We're only just coming up for air after an insanely divisive election season. Divisiveness that's not exactly going into the rearview mirror anytime soon. And heading into Thanksgiving, it's either going to be the break you're looking for or a minefield of dodging topics that'll cause your Aunt Muriel to throw a bread roll at you. So where to turn? Where can you go to unwind, break away from the political burnout, and just escape for a bit? To find out more, we're turning to a panel of experts on the romance genre. Bryn Donovan, romance novelist and author of the new book, Her Night at the Museum, Sonali Dave, also a romance novelist and author of the 2022 book, The Vibrant Years, and Jen Prokop, co-host of the romance podcast, Faded Mates. I read that the average person reads around 5 to 12 books a year, but the average romance reader reads up to 50 per year. That's a voracious consumer base. I asked our panel to weigh in personally, do they read this much romance themselves?
Absolutely.
Guilty.
Absolutely.
It's part of the job. Right. You can't have a romance novel podcast and not have a lot of romance
novels. Of course. Well, Sonali, what is it about romance novels that makes for the perfect escapism read?
Okay, first I'm going to say that the one thing across the board for all romance novelists, that kind of is part of our experience and defines this experience is those emails we've gotten from readers, saying things like, I was by my mother's bedside, while she was getting chemo, or, my child was, going through something, and the only reason I made it was your books. So I think the very basis of this job is to provide people escape. So, and I think that's my favorite part of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jen, knowing that something good is going to happen at the end of the twists and turns, I mean, it means you don't have to feel anxious, I guess, for the characters, maybe by the end?
I think we call it like safe anxiety. I mean, I think one of the things that's really funny is many people will say like, don't you know, aren't they all the same? And I'm from Ohio. So like this weekend, there's a rather large football game between Ohio State and Michigan. They've played it every year for however many years. And it's never like, well, you watched that game last year. Do you need to watch it again? Like, we understand that every sporting event is a different story, right? So the same is true for romance, right? Like, you know it's going to end up happily at the end, but it might be super angst-filled, or it might be, just really calm where two people are, like, finding each other in, like, a peaceful way. So I think the thing to remember is it's like, we love genre, I think, at times of anxiety and stress. So if romance isn't your thing, like, pick up a mystery and, justice will be served. And or if you're like, I'm a little scared, I'm going to read a horror novel and you know, the community is going to band together and fight off this great evil. So it's not, I mean, listen, we're here to proselytize for romance, obviously, but genre, I think there's a lot of ways in which we as a culture find comfort in the, in that sort of like, there's a strict set of parameters.
Yeah.
Right. And so in romance, it's the HEA. People are going to end up happily at the end. How they get there, that's what every book has to teach you.
Yes, that's what we're in for. Well, Bryn, was there a specific book that tipped the scales for you and made you a romance fan?
That is such a great question, because my background is literary and I got my MFA in creative writing, and I had the usual prejudices against the genre without ever having read it. And I got curious about it. I thought, well, I'll just read one. I read a historical romance by Elizabeth Holt. The big emotional scenes and the happy ever after really spoke to me. I was publishing weird little poems in literary magazines, but this to me, like the permission, the unapologetic happy ever after really made me a fan.
Oh, that's great. Well, in this post-election time, do you find yourselves more likely to lose yourself in a book? I mean, is there something that you're reading right now that's really doing it for you?
So, yeah, I mean, I think that for a lot of people, like, if you think about it, like, after times of stress, like, you want to lose yourself in a great K-drama, maybe. And so, like, a book can deliver that for you. So a book I like to really, like, recommend local books. So this is, like, a Chicago audience. So there's a great series by an author named Natalie Kenya. It's called The Vega Family Love Stories. It's set in Humboldt Park. And it's really, Natalie, I've talked with, she loved growing up telenovelas. And so there's, like, a big family that's three siblings. The third book, called Sleeping with a Frenemy, just came out. And in this book, essentially, like, Leo, who's the Vega family guy, has been essentially having a on-again, off-again secret affair with his sister's best friend since they were, like, in their late teens, and no one knows about it. And, you know, like, there's meddling grandparents, there's, like, family drama when everyone finds out, there's a, you know, a wedding from a, his sister's getting married, she was the in book one. So, I mean, I think one of the other things is you can really get, like, really sink into, like, a book that has, like, a lot of family drama if you want that. And because it's set in Chicago, here in Chicago, in Humboldt Park, right, there's, you know, part of the story is about gentrification. Part of the story is about, you know, coming back home if you've left. So it, like, really serves up all the great things, too, about, like, this place that we love.
Yeah.
So those, that's a great series.
Everything. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Bryn Sonali?
Oh, yeah. So, well, first of all, I didn't know Solani was here in Chicago, so I'm excited about that. So I recommend her books, of course. And, I mean, a couple of other local Chicago writers. Chandra Bloomberg writes about marine biologists. She writes about paleontologists. She found out that on Shark Week, Black scientists were underrepresented. And so she wrote about them in Second Tide's The Charm. I love that book. And Lana Harper, her Thistle Grove series about witches, I've really enjoyed. I appreciate the bisexual representation and the characters there. So wonderful authors just in this area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, so I kind of, my start from what Bryn was saying, your last question was, you know, I found my way into romance through Bollywood novels, Bollywood movies, which is what I grew up watching. And the thing I, really, really appreciated about that was escape, was getting so lost in that world that you didn't want to leave. And that was what I wanted to recreate. That is what I chase when I read a romance novel, is that feeling of having to go back, like not being able to put the book down, but going back and reading all your favorite parts again. And of course, I think with modern romance, there's this really beautiful feminine rage that simmers on the pages. And one of the people, I think one of the authors who does that really beautifully is Alicia Rye. So anything by her, she has a recent book called Partners in Crime, which is actually a romp across Las Vegas. It's a heist. It's a second chance at first love. It's coming into yourself. I also think romance novels are chasing wellness rather than happiness. Yeah. So I actually think it is, you know, women and people finding a way to be well enough to let love into their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's very much there in our Partners in Crime. There's a new young South Asian author called Naina Kumar, and she has a book coming out early next year called Flirting with Disaster, which feels very, which feels very much the need of the day. And that is this couple who separated a few years ago. So that also is a second chance romance, but they come back together during the floods in Dallas. Yeah. So it literally is, you know, flirting with disaster and each other. And it is very much escaping into two people kind of growing up and finding their wellness and letting each other, you know, letting each other into their lives.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, like, it's just the suggestions you've all given. You can kind of see how romance has subcategories within itself. I think when people who don't necessarily read romance novels, they automatically think that the genre is period romance.
Right.
But where do you all fall? You know, are you fans of the period romance or maybe fans of the dystopian futuristic love in a hopeless place storyline?
So it's interesting. Like, historical romance is really a big part of romance's past, but also I think there's like really cool stories that are happening in historical romance. So she's also a friend of mine. So Adriana Herrera has written a series, and the upcoming one next year is called A Tropical Rebel Gets the Duke. And this woman has essentially been trained as a doctor. She is essentially, it's in Paris and like kind of like during the World's Fair, so like the late 1890s. And she's running like an underground women's health clinic, including abortions. And so I think there's like ways in which like historical romance can do really cool stuff because, you know, I think now what we see is, you know, back to your like the topic, right? Like you're at the dinner table. Contemporary romance authors, some of them are really afraid to be political. Not the women I'm here with, but some of them, right? Like, I'm going to lose my readers. And, you know, and it's really interesting because a lot of those authors are saying, like, look, if you can't tell what I think or believe by, like, reading my books, I'm kind of confused, honestly. But I think historical romance can always be on the right side, right? Yeah. Can, like, sort of look at something like the Comstock Laws. So Joanna Shoup has a series where, like, you know, literally the Comstock Act is coming into being and say, like, hey, this isn't right. So I think you can actually kind of be inspired by historical romance because you can sort of be like, hey, these were the people who, you know, people have always been fighting, right? Yeah. People have always been saying, hey, we want to make this world a better place.
Historical romance can do that. Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting that you bring up that, you know, some authors want to shy away from the political, but you and your co-host, author Sarah McLean, have talked on the podcast about how the romance genre is inherently
correct
political itself. Yeah. How is that?
I think it's because it's always about the idea that no matter how hard times are, it is worthwhile and valuable to find joy, to build community, and to follow, like, your dreams. Right?
And I think, isn't it specifically about women getting what they want, which is a thing we haven't seen, you know, in fiction until very recently. I got into romance or, you know, romance through by reading Jane Austen in middle school. And the thing that stopped me was actually seeing someone on the page who had opinions, who laughed at the community she lived in, who, you know, laughed at rules and was loved for it,
yeah.
Right? So here I was, this young girl growing up in Mumbai who didn't think everything I was being told was the truth. You know, as women, we're lied to from the day we're born about who we need to be, what we need to be, all of that, right? And coming back to what Jen was saying, I think that historical romance, nobody who's reading historical romance is arguing that it is about accuracy. That's not what that read is about. That read is about going back and saying, this is what we didn't have, and this is what might have been if we knew then what we know now. So it's almost this wonderful rewriting of, female history specifically. Yeah.
History, for sure, right?
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all history for people who were told you cannot, you do not, you will not, and who said, but why, and did it anyway.
Yeah.
I think when you're writing, even if you don't intend to be political, your worldview comes through. So with Her Night at the Museum, fluffy, fluffy romance. It's been picked up for a Hallmark movie. They're going to leave out the spicy parts. So you would think it would be very non-political, and I guess it is, but... In there, I have a whole scene that's a vaccination scene because he's a medieval knight in present-day Chicago, and she's worried that he has no immunity, to anything. And so that's a whole scene which I didn't think of as controversial as it would be, right? It should not be,
Right.
And there's a scene where she's talking to him about the existence of birth control. There's a discussion about how great it is that women now have control over their own reproduction, and it's a very pro-choice discussion on both sides. So I think your worldview sometimes comes through, regardless.
I mean, we were just talking about kind of how the genre has evolved. Maybe when we think of the genre in the past, not a lot of great messaging around consent, women's empowerment, masculinity. So what do you think was the turning point? How has the genre evolved?
I think because of readers, right? Like readers said, like, hey, I deserve to see myself on the pages of this book. Every culture, identity, right? I mean, so I think readers are the ones who really said, we love the genre, it should be bigger, right?
And I think the birth of ebooks, and the internet, like everything else, right? Blew all, everything traditional and conventional through the roof. And I think that was it. It was if the gatekeepers didn't allow you to tell the stories that you thought should be told, then there was another way to do it, to go to market yourself. And, I think that kind of shook things up. Now, my first book came out 10 years ago. And very, very different world. There was, I could tell you stories about, how every conversation I had with editors was about how there was no place for me. And we've come far. We've come to a place where this last fall there were, five just South Asian contemporary rom-coms, right? So we have come a long way. But I also think that... as a genre, right from the time it started in the 60s or 70s, it has followed the arc of feminism itself. So the arc of how women view themselves, and view their sexuality, because this is a genre that gives, gives you control of your own sexuality. So whether in the 70s you needed a man to force you into it, which is why those were those romances, not justifying it. But from there, we've come to a place where it's attractive to write a man who asks, before he can do anything, because
you're doing it together.
Yeah, exactly. And how was it not the case before? But we've come that far. So I think Jen is absolutely right that the readership has changed. But I also think that when we were being told you cannot say X, Y, Z, technology actually gave you a mic and said, well, go ahead and say it. And that's when the readers came out and supported it. And then mainstream had to absorb it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point.
And I feel like the genre has kind of exploded in the last decade. Do you think we're in a golden age of romance?
Am I answering?
We both looked at you.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. I think that romance is one of the real appeals of romance that Sonali was talking about is it's so responsive to who we are as a culture, right? We had a really amazing guest on once, Jane Ann Krentz. And one of the things she said is, like, genre carries the myth. If you want to know what your culture is really doing, look to genre. And so I think one of the reasons, and I think so, that's, I think, another reason why we think it can be so forward thinking, right? But it can also be regressive. Like, you know, romance, just like any genre, is not perfect. But I do think that, like, after the pandemic and TikTok, there just were a lot of accelerators, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, it just felt like everybody was stepping on the gas all at once. But I also want to say, like, in the time of book banning, we are also worried that someone is going to be stomping on the brakes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone deserves to see themselves as someone who is worthy of love, right? It's not just about, you know, we used to say back in the day, like, romance is for women by women. We don't really say that anymore, right? Like, romance is for anybody who feels that they deserve love, and they do.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and once I think we, like, let go of some of that framing that, like, started off, right, we saw the evolution of feminism, but also of being open and dynamically welcoming. So yeah, I hope it's the golden age of romance, but also, like, book banning is looking to make it the dark ages of romance.
Well,
let's say no.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. You can support the work we do on Reset by liking and subscribing to our podcast. We drop new episodes every weekday with a special one on Saturday. You can also sign up for our newsletter. Head to wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Susie Yon, in for Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.